The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Christ.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord God.
We start. There is no children's story this morning, so even though it's printed in your bulletin, just to give you that notice.
Slight change. There is a children's story. I'm about to give it, so kids, just stay here, okay? Be seated. Well, let's start with prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate Rite 13. Hey kids, how are you? You're looking great. All right, here's the deal. This sermon is just for you, okay? Everybody else is just listening in, speaking to them. I practiced in the last service. It's a bunch of people who were not 13. And it went okay, all right? I think it'll go better this time. Let's see. Today, I'm going to give you some practical advice, okay? Big days like today, it's good to start with just some practical advice. Okay, practical advice piece number one. Every time I got to the end of like a period of education, like at the end of elementary school, or the end of middle school, the end of high school, the end of college, the end of graduate school. At the end of that time, I thought, you know what? If I restarted that school program, I would do great at school. By the end of fifth grade, I felt like I was very prepared for first grade. Okay? The converse, the reverse of that, is at the end of fifth grade, I did not feel ready for sixth grade, okay? Those people in sixth grade, they seemed really smart. I don't know, have you guys had an experience like this? In high school, the other high schoolers seemed like smarter than me, you know? I was sure that they were turning in better papers than I was gonna turn in. But at the end of high school, I thought, like, I could do great as a freshman in high school, you know? And I think a lot of times in our world, we love to be complicated and nuanced. There are some things that are like really hard to talk about, you know? I mean, it's not that they're hard to talk about exactly, but they're strange. They're weird. You guys ever talk about stuff like this at home? Strange, weird things? If I was closer to you, I'd ask for you to shout a couple of them out, but I think the distance is too much. So something we talk about in our house a lot is like strange and complicated and nuanced is like, what does it mean to like live in a democracy during like these days? You know, what does that look like? had an idea about what it looked like when I was like, I don't know, a kid, but like what it means to be in a democracy right now, like that's something that's going to be a strange conversation. Sometimes when you have strange conversations, people get a little bit nervous, you know? Anxiety comes up because like, what's it going to say? We have strange conversations about like social justice and like gender, sex. These are like hard things to talk about. But what I'm going to talk about today is something that is like, I don't want to say it's easy to talk about, but it isn't complicated. And sometimes it can be a little bit strange. I want to talk about like the things that I feel very certain about. There's lots of stuff in the world that I don't feel certain about that are like, I don't know. Somebody else might have a better idea than me, or no, that's always true. But there are some stuff that I'm like, oh, I'm still trying to figure this out. But there are some things that I feel like I'm not still trying to figure out. Can I give you an example? The love that I have for my kids, okay? I'm not waiting for more experience to decide whether I actually love my kids or not. Rosemary's here. Hey, Rosie. And Ruby. Jude's probably coming later. When Rosie turns 10 and Ruby turns 14 and Jude turns 20, I'm not waiting to those moments, to their 10 or 15 or 20, to figure out whether I love them. I know right now, as a matter of certainty, absolute conviction, that the love that I have for them is forever. Now, they're up here talking to not me. They tell you I make lots of mistakes. I'm not telling you that the love is perfect, that I do it perfectly, but I know that that love is absolute forever, absolute certainty, not like the other stuff that I need to repeat elementary school to figure out. I don't need more experience. I'm not waiting to get older to know it. I know it right now. And it's something that you could know right now with the same type of certainty. In some ways, I think you feel like you do. Where does that power come from? Where does that sense of certainty come from? Now, this part is kind of complicated. I think when we read scripture from over there and that lectern, or when we read it from the middle of our church, what we read in scripture, I believe, is trying to communicate, give stories and flesh to make real that love, to tell the history of that love. And that means that behind that love, the power generating it, the power that gets it even to me who needed like to do elementary school twice, the power that comes from God. That God is like that. God is unchanging in this way. The love that God sends to the world is uncreated. That means that same love that existed before the stars were born is the exact same as it is now. Another way to say it is, God wasn't waiting to see how the world turned out to decide to send that love. That love, and this is a complicated phrase that we use sometimes, is a free gift. Doesn't matter how many times you mess up. Doesn't matter how many times we as a world mess up. God, that love, it ain't gonna change, ever. It's there from the beginning of time, never changing. There are complicated bits, okay? Like, for instance, what are we going to do with this practical advice? Here's my suggestion. In the gospel today, did you hear that part about Jesus saying that Jesus and the Father are one? And that Jesus came to give eternal life? It's this love that is eternal life. Jesus says that again and again, that life with God, life in this love, that is what eternal life is about. Not heaven, exactly. Or if we were to live it out, that would be heaven. But the whole thing is Jesus says the Father and I are one. That is, that love that existed from before time, it doesn't matter how you turn out or live, Jesus came to express it. Practical advice, here it comes. Jesus gave some practical advice, and here it is. If that love is true, Jesus says, the practical advice, what that means for your life, don't pursue happiness, is what Jesus says. Don't pursue those things that so many people think are keys to being happy. Having lots of money, having lots of power, getting to beat everybody on the sports field, or in chess, or in debate, getting into the best college. Jesus says, don't worry about that stuff. If you want to know God, have a full life, here's the practical advice. Jesus says, turn your whole life into the service of others. If you think, what I want to do with my life is to help other people, to serve them, paradoxically, oddly, that is the way to true happiness. That beyond all that stuff, there is eternal life in the service of others. Now, the complicated part is, what does it mean? Like, yes, serve others, but like, does that mean, like, how are you supposed to live a life? Are you supposed to be a dentist or a teacher or a painter? Like, I don't know. Just like, I know I love my kids, but how will I love them? What kind of love will they need at 15 or at 13 or at 20? I don't know. That takes prayer, and it takes all these people trying to figure it out, because that part is hard. But the simple part, the absolute part, is to live a life of love. That's at the beginning of the Bible, middle, end. And what that love means practically is to think about each other as servants. That your life, the whole of it, all of it, is about service. Serving each other. Amen.